Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. Oh my God, thank God for another day. He has gotten us through. He has covered us. And if you're on the call tonight, I know that surely you have experienced his amazing grace. And we know that it is sufficient. Amen. So thank you again for joining with me on tonight, Processing the Pain. I am excited and perplexed at the same time. Excited because I'm always excited that God has chose to use a sinner like me, saved by grace, to bring forth a word. The word generally is always to me first and then to my listening audience, if you will receive it. I'm perplexed because he's taking me in a direction on tonight that I'm not quite sure where he's going, but I am excited to just open my mouth and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me through whatever this path that God has me on tonight. I had, last week and the week before last, I've been pretty consistent with this journey, and last week I spoke about, we were talking about different things, and I kept using the example of weight. And I was using that as an example because I felt like that's something that people could relate to. That was something tangible. So when using that as an example, I thought, okay, well, everybody could grasp this because everybody has probably experienced some form of dislike towards their weight. And after the show, I was speaking with my mentor who knows me inside out. He knows my struggles. He knows my humanity. He knows my strengths and my weaknesses. And we were just talking, and he was sharing with me and the wisdom. I respect his wisdom, and he was sharing with me. And I began to sit at his feet as he began to share something with me. And when he was sharing it with me, I was like, okay, yeah, no, I don't really think that's me. But as he shared it with me, I didn't take it and I didn't hold it to a lot of value. I did listen, and I held on to what was shared. And I was obedient. I was obedient, and I began to read up on this term, and many of you may be familiar with it, and many of you may not be. I was not familiar with it. And it is a secular term, but it speaks about economics. And the term is called sunk cost. Sunk cost. I'm going to spell it because I want you to get it, write it down. You can Google it, research it for yourself. But we're going to be talking about that on tonight. And even though it's an economic term, it's a secular world term, I'm going to take it because it's a principle. And anybody know anything about Cozy? If you've been following me for any amount of time, my motto is that I take practical principles unto perception based on the word of God. I present practical principles unto perception based on the word of God. What does all those P's mean? It's almost like Peter Piper picked a pack of peppers. But what that means to me is that I'm able to, God has given me, I believe, the ability to take practical principles, things that's practical, day-to-day, things, that's just basic, to take these practical principles and then break them down so that we could unto perception, so that we could perceive them, that we could understand them. Because if we could understand them, then we could do them. If we could understand them, if we get a perception, then we could do it. And so it's practical. A lot of times things that we hear, we're listening to sermons or we're listening to teachings, and it's not practical to us. It's like, how do I do this in my day-to-day life? How do I apply this in my day-to-day life? Because we could get super-duper religious, or we could get, I could be eloquent in my words, and I could know it exactly. I could be grammatically correct, and I could know exactly where the T is, the I is, and where the period goes, and where the comma goes, and when to apply an exclamation mark, and I could know when the conjunction, how to form a conjunction in a sentence. I could know all of that. But it doesn't matter if I can't take that knowledge, apply it, so that I can operate in wisdom. It doesn't matter how much knowledge we got if we haven't learned how to apply it. And the application, I believe, comes with, that's practical. That's the practical part of it. Can I apply what you're telling me? If you're telling me that Jesus died on the cross, Does that make sense? Can I capture that? Can I understand the depth of the love of God by sending his son? Because if you don't understand it, then you'll never be able to apply it, and you'll never be able to walk it out. And we got a lot of folks, including me, that spend years not being able to walk out what we've been told. We've been told it, we've been preached to, we've been ministered to, but we haven't been able to walk it out because it wasn't, we couldn't understand, or we didn't quite get how do we capture this and implement it in our day-to-day life. Amen? So I'm really excited, and I'm sure that this won't be the first teaching in this. I'm sure that God is going to take me deeper, but I'm taking this principle, and I'm going to try to make it, I'm taking this principle, and I'm going to try to bring it to perception based on the Word of God, okay? So the term again is sunk cost, S-U-N-K cost. And it is, like I said, it's used in the business world. It's an economic term. And sunk cost, the sunk cost effect is the general tendency for people to continue an endeavor or continue consuming or pursuing an option, especially if they've invested the time, money, and emotions in it. So it is an economic sunk cost. It's any past cost that has already been paid and cannot be recovered. I'm going to repeat that because this is going to take us where we're going tonight. Sunk cost, any past cost that has already been paid and cannot be recovered. If this makes sense, we all operate in sunk cost. We all operate in sunk cost, but I want to get into a little deeper to that because there's some psychological things that happen to us when we operate in this thing called sunk cost. When we operate in the fact of spending money that cannot be recovered. Now, I'm going to break that down a little bit more because even when I'm saying that, it may not make sense. You may not capture it. Another term for this is you hear people also say crying over spilled milk or bad money after good money or good money after bad money. These are just some terms that could all refer back to this same concept. I'm going to give you an example. Because this sunk cost, it could pertain to relationships, it could pertain to money, it could pertain to employment. Now, when you use the term sunk cost, it's talking to economics, we're talking about money, but I realize that it doesn't just have to be money, and I'm going to prove that to you because it could be anything that we've invested in that hasn't given us the return that we expected. Let's throw out relationships. Maybe some of you haven't. Maybe some of you had the wisdom, but some of us have. Some of us have gotten involved in relationships, and we've invested time, we've invested resources, we invested emotions, and the more we invested, but we never got a return on those investments. We never received back the love that we felt like we gave. We felt like if we gave 10 pounds of love, we didn't get a pound back. We stay in these relationships, and oftentimes these relationships are toxic to us. We stay in a relationship. Why? Because there's a psychological thing that plays in our minds that's telling us I've invested too much to leave it alone. All the while we're not leaving it alone, all the while what's happening is we're remaining in a toxic situation. We often heard this phrase, count your loss, count your cost, or, walk away. Just walk away. It's not doing you any good to walk away. But people have a hard time walking away from things that they valued or they believe they valued or they invested in. It's hard for us to walk away from things we invested in. A good example of that, and many of you that's been following me, and I'm very transparent about my own journey. I often share about the journey of this me trying to do a nonprofit and do a book and investing a lot of money into it and not getting back what I invested, making bad investments. And what it did is it cost me a year out of where I should what I should have been doing, because anytime we make investments and don't get a return and we stay, it's always going to result in time loss. And we all know that, and we've all spoken that there's one thing that we can never get back, and that's time. But it'll be time lost when you stay in situations that you've invested in that don't pay back. One of the things I want to share in here, and as I was reading and studying about some calls, I was thinking, because I'm always trying to tie in, Lord, what is it that you really want us to get out of this? What is it that you want your children to know? I understand some calls. I understand that it's dealing with economics. I understand that the fact of the matter is that it is money that's been paid that cannot be recovered. I understand that. That's good. But what is the spiritual message that God wants us to get from this? And one of the things that came to mind for me, and you're going to get your own message out of it, is one of the things that came to mind for me is two things. One, the first thing came to mind is that if we're not careful when we're making our investments, we should always be seeking the will and the wisdom of God when we make investments. And I don't care if that's an emotional investment, if that's a financial investment. Who told us to invest? Did I just do this because this is something Denise wants? Or did I do it because I seek God and I ask God for his wisdom and his direction and his will? And a lot of times we don't. We make decisions and we just move with it. It's a feeling. Oh, I feel like I should be doing this. Oh, I feel like I should be with this person. Oh, I feel like I need to buy this. It's a lot of it is emotions and feelings, and it has nothing to do with us seeking God for guidance, because oftentimes when we're really seeking God for guidance, and sometimes we seek God and we think we heard from God and we miss the mark, you know. But I think when we seek God and we get a word from God, a confirmed word from God, then I think oftentimes we probably don't have to deal with the cost of investing and not getting a return on that investment. That's the one thing that came to me. The other thing came to me is this. You know, the whole walk that we do, this whole faith walk, one of the things is it's about having faith, right? And another thing is forgiveness. And oftentimes I think we walk and we teach and we minister about forgiving others. You know, God has forgiven us, so we too have to forgive others. And I think a lot of times we take us out of the equation and we forget to forgive ourselves. So a lot of times we will make mistakes. We will make bad investments. But do we forgive ourselves? Are we as rapidly able to forgive ourselves as we forgive others, and as God rapidly forgives us? So this was another thing that came to mind when I thought about some calls, is that the ability for us to be able to forgive it and operate in the now. And I have touched a teaching, of course, that I've gotten from my mentors and from the ministry I came up out of about now. You know, that 0 to 5 seconds. And so if we're serving a now God, and God is a now God. So if God is a now God, that means we have to constantly be operating in the now and not the past. And I think sunk cost is very much dealing in the past, because you're dealing in and you're married to and you're connected to your past, because the past choice you made, you're still holding on to it because you don't, you know, you're still holding on to that past choice. Let me give you another example that it gives you a picture. And I'm rolling here, so bear with me, because I believe he's going to bring it all together. One of the things I know that I do, and maybe some of you have done it too, and I'm going to talk about things that's tangible. I want to talk about things that most of us, on the average, most of us have dealt with. We've dealt with relationships that we stayed in and you know, just because we're hoping, we're wishing, we're hoping that we're going to get a return on our investment. But then there's the other thing. Let's talk about clothes, for example. We buy clothes. Some of us got a closet full of clothes and shoes, just tons of clothes and shoes that we're holding on to. Sunk cost. Why are we holding on to it? Because in our minds, in our psyche, we say, hey, I paid money. Or we say, hey, that's a name brand. I paid money on that. Oh, I paid a lot of money on that. Ain't no way I'm going to get rid of that. Well, I'm going to send that to Goodwill. I spend too much money on that. So we play that in our minds, and because we play that on our minds, we'll hold on to something. And then the bad thing about it is oftentimes we're holding on to things that's making our lives worse. It's not even making things better for us. When you got a closet full of stuff you don't even wear, now your closet is crowded, you have a pinch of hoarding, so it's not making your life better, but yet you're holding on to it. You, some of us got clothes in our closet that's a size 6, and we're a 16, and we're still holding on saying, one day I'm going to get into that size 6 jeans, and we're holding on to it. You know, we got a bunch of shoes that need repair. You can't even wear them now because they're missing a heel, they're missing something, but yet and still, instead of just throwing them away, be done with them, give them away, whatever. You'll hold on to them one day. I'm going to get around to getting them fixed. That's a perfect example. Another example that we also relate to, you go out to, let's say, a Benihana's. Everybody knows about Benihana's. Benihana's is a great Japanese restaurant. It's kind of expensive. It's a great dining experience. And you get a plate. You just spend $3 on the plate. You get the plate, and the plate comes. And before the plate, it's like a 5-course meal. You had appetizers, you had salads, you had hors d'oeuvres, you had all this stuff, and then your plate comes. And you eat this plate knowing that it's going to hurt you, knowing that at the end result, you're going to be bloated, you're going to have indigestion, you're not going to be able to sleep tonight because you know you overdid it. And when your body first said, you know what, you're full, stop, your mind said, I paid for this. I'm going to eat all of this. Amen. I heard laughter. I heard virtual laughter because we all have done it. We still do it. Many of us still do it. I know I do it. It's something about, and I don't know if psychologically when most of us were kids, I don't know about you all, when I was a child, a very small child. And remember, I told you that 0 to 7 is what we, you know, is defining us. It's defining who we are, who we are to become. And I can remember between 0 and 7 sitting at the supper table, and my mama said, "You're not getting up from there until you finish eating. You're not supposed to waste my food." And that was programmed into me. I mean, I heard this every time I sat down to dinner, got ready to eat. You wasn't going to leave anything on your plate. You were going to sit there. And how many of us fell asleep at the dinner table? Because we knew we had to sit there and eat it. Because why? We wasn't going to waste mama's food. Sunk cost. Because at the end of it, we stuffed ourselves because we were forced to. And we felt miserable afterwards. How many of us went to bed with a tummy ache? My stomach hurt. I don't feel good because I had to eat my food. Now, not stopping there, we take that same mentality, that same programming, and now I'm no longer 7, I'm 17. I'm no longer 17, I'm 27. But the same programming, the same concept, the same thing is you better not waste. You better not waste that. You better eat all your food. I didn't pay for that. Money don't grow on trees. And so we're being programmed constantly to this mentality. So this mentality has a new word, but it doesn't have a new definition because we've been sunk cost for years. We've been operating in sunk cost for years. We've been moving in sunk cost for years. And I'm realizing that in my own life, that I'm holding on to things that I feel like I've invested in, that I've spent time with. You know, whether it's clothes that I've invested in, whether it's a good meal that I've invested in, whether it's a relationship that I've invested in, I'm holding on to these things. And the end result is that it's not adding to my life. It is literally, it's fallacy, you know. It's called the sum cost fallacy, and it's fallacy because it's making me unhappy. It's making us worse off. And we don't even realize it, that we're holding on and we made a decision of holding on to things that's not paying off that's making our life worse. And it's like, what is wrong with us just being able to be done with it? What is wrong with us being able to say, you know what, that's enough. You know what, I don't need these clothes. I don't need these shoes. They don't benefit me anymore. Yes, I've invested in them. I invested in it. Okay, but it's enough. It's not benefiting me anymore. What is the things in your life that you're holding on to that you've invested greatly in, but you're still holding on to them and they're not benefiting you anymore? As I'm speaking, I want to just tell you to think about that. Many of us, I guarantee you, if you sit down with a paper and pen and you begin to journal, you will find out that there's several things that you're probably still holding on to that is no longer benefiting you. No longer benefiting you. And it's really got you, your psyche. The idea, let's say, for example, and then it really gets bad when it has to do with other people. I want to give you another example, and I'm trying to think. Let's give you another example. Your family member is having Thanksgiving dinner. This is a good. Your family member is having Thanksgiving dinner. You told your family member, yes, I will be there. I will bring the ice. And all of a sudden, you get sick in your body. But now you feel, I got to go. I've already invested. I went and brought all this soda and ice. And now I got to push myself to go to this thing. See? You see what I'm saying? So you've invested. Now you feel obligated to go, but it's not for your betterment. It's not for your betterment. Why? Because you're already feeling sick in your body. So why would you, and you see this often. I'm sure this is probably how a lot of people get sick, but you go anyway. See, that's something deeper than just regret. There's something deeper than just guilt and shame, because all of it comes back to that. Many of us have regret. We have shame. We have guilt that's operating with us as it pertains to the sunk cost fallacy. But it's something deeper. You know, it's a psychological, we're in psychological warfare, because we're no longer being able to make decisions to just not do stuff that don't make us happy or that makes us worse off. We're not letting go of relationships. And I'm not saying literally to just let go of a relationship, meaning the person's not in the same household with you, but you got to let go emotionally. Some of us are still emotionally tied to relationships that make us unhappy, that we're no better off. But we're still, because we're remembering the first year, the first 2 years of the relationship. They were great. Things were great. But it's 12 years later, and you're still holding on to the first 2 years. What happened in the other 10 years? What happened in the other 10 years is that you constantly remember the investment in the first 2 years. You remember the investment, the time, the emotions, the resources that you spent in the first 2 years, and you still holding on even though the last 10 years has been miserable. Ooh, somebody going to get this. And it's time to let go. It's no longer serving you any purpose. It's no longer benefiting you. You cannot live another 20 years based on something from 20 years ago that made you happy that no longer is doing anything for you. Amen? You've invested in, let's say, a ticket. You're going to a concert. You've invested in some tickets. And you realize, I don't want to see Beyonce. It's going to grieve my spirit. Why did I buy tickets to go see Beyonce? And I know already that that's not where I need to be. I know already that the Holy Spirit is telling me this is not for you. But yet and still, because I just paid $300 for a concert ticket, guess what? I'm going to go to the concert. Why? Because psychologically, if I already convinced myself, I made an investment. I'm not fixing to waste my investment. So I'm going to go to the concert, and I'm going to sit through 3 hours of stuff without not realizing that it's going to make me worse off. And this is a true story. I never bought Beyonce tickets, but, you know, and I'm not knocking these as the artists. They're not my artists, but I'm giving an example as a believer. I remember I went to a concert, and this was pre R. Kelly. Everybody knows about him and different things going on, and this is not to attack him or anything like that, but pre all of this stuff going on, he had a concert, and I was invited to go to the concert. I didn't even pay for the tickets. Somebody else paid for the tickets. Somebody that's been very important to me brought the tickets and invited me to go. And, you know, the excitement of, oh, gosh, that's going to be good, because there's a few songs he made that I liked. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to this concert. And 5 minutes into the concert, I knew that wasn't a good decision for me. But because I was obligated, or I felt obligated, or a sense of obligation, because I didn't want to waste somebody else's money. I didn't want to waste somebody else's investment. So I sat through 2 hours of hip jogging and panties being thrown through the audience. Yes, real story. But I'm just saying, see what we will subject ourselves to because we don't want to waste somebody else's investment. We don't want to waste somebody else's resources. We don't want to waste somebody else's time, not even our own. And we'll subject ourselves to things that's not worth it. So this brings me to where I'm getting ready to go now. How does all this tie in? Well, this ties in is because we got to really think about what is really self-hate. Because when we think of self-hate, we think of some major things. We think of somebody maybe committing suicide, or we think of somebody just doing something so damaging to them. So when we think of self-hate, we say in our minds it's a negative thing. We say in our minds that it's a bad thing. We say in our minds it's not something we should do. We all constantly hearing people say self-love, you need self-love, you know, I love myself. You hear these words, but then when you look at their actions, when you look at their lifestyle, it's hard to believe that they really love themselves. It's hard to believe that there's self-love there because their actions reflect that of self-hate. What do you mean, Coach D? Well, Coach D, what I mean is this. If somebody hands you poison and they hand it to you in a cup and told you it was poison, would you drink it? I believe, though I cannot hear you, I believe that the 99.9% of us would say, why would I do that? I'm not crazy. I wouldn't drink poison. However, we say that. But then there are certain things and certain habits we have in our life that we continue to do that is poison. It says, I don't like me. It says, I'm going to hurt me. So even though we're not sitting up drinking something that just says poison across it, there's the other things we're doing, not eating properly. If you're on medication, unless you're doing something to wean yourself from that medication because you found a healthier option, then you should be taking your medication. If you know your medication is keeping your body functioning, it's keeping your circulation going, it's keeping your heart beating, then you should be taking that, and you should be taking it religiously. Why would you not take it when you know if you don't take it, your blood pressure is going to go up, which is going to potentially cause you to have a stroke? That's called self-hate. Why do we allow ourselves to get to obesity? It's a thing. Gluttony is a sin. However, you never hear nobody preach it. Nobody ever, has anybody heard a sermon that's preaching on gluttony? I haven't. And I'm not saying there isn't any. I'm saying I've never heard of it. And when I do a survey amongst my sphere of influence, no one has ever heard of a sermon on gluttony. But it's a sin. And gluttony is the leading cause to obesity. And obesity is the leading cause to disease. So if that's the case, then that's a form of self-hate. Because if I'm going to continue to eat things that I know is causing me obesity or things that's causing me to be sick in my body, then that's self-hate. It's no pretty package. Let's just call it what it is. I know it's a hard truth. And many of us don't want to hear it. Some of us may start hanging up the phone, but it's okay. I smoked cigarettes for many years, many years. Now I can say this. I'm grown enough to say it. I started smoking when I was 13 years old. Why? Because I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be like the in crowd. And in the process of being cool and being like the in crowd and not having the information, because when I was that age, they still was doing cigarette commercials that made it look glamorous. And you looked glamorous and you looked grown. And I wanted to be glamorous and grown and be with the in crowd. So I started smoking, not knowing that I was developing a habit that would eventually be difficult to break. And I'm bringing that up because I did that, and I didn't realize that with every puff was self-hate. With every puff, I was telling myself, I don't care if you get sick. I don't care if you know. I mean, you get to the point where you even start saying things, foolish things, but you say it. You know, I remember saying at times or hearing other people say, well, I'm going to die of something. I might as well enjoy what I'm going to die from. That is foolish. But we could get psychologically into this foolish stuff. We could get psychologically into this sunk cost where we are investing in things and holding on to things that are not making us any better. Okay? So, and I don't smoke no more. That's been years. But I'm just saying, using that as an example. And there's so many. I could go on and on and on about examples. I bet each one of you that's listening in could think of at least one thing in your life that you have made a lot of investment in, you spent a lot of time in, but it's not making you happy. You're not happy. It's making you worse off. You know, it's either affecting your health. It's affecting how you sleep at night. It could be affecting your mental state. You know, that could be a job. Some of us are on jobs that we are just totally stressed out. We're stressed out. We're miserable. We don't even want to wake up in the morning to go to work, but we'll keep going. Why? Because I got bills to pay. You know, I've made an investment. The investment is I go and I invest 8 hours and then I'm going to get paid for 8 hours. But it's still, you're no better off. I'm not telling people to just go quit your job. Have a plan. I can just hear it now. Well, yeah, Coach D, that was a great sermon. I'm fixing to quit my job. No sense of me being stressed no more. I don't want to be sunk cost. But I'm saying there are some of us that's on jobs or relationships or we've invested money in things that haven't paid off. One of the things I could think of off the top of my mind, how much money have people invested in lottery tickets? Okay, how much money? Yeah, if you win something, great. But how many of you have won anything significant to what you've invested in it? And so some of you, believe it or not, are a whole lot worse off because you're investing this and you're expecting a return, but you haven't gotten a return on your investment. And in the meantime, while you haven't gotten a return on your investment, you're broke. So you can't even pay some of your bills. Because you've invested the money that you should have been paying bills in the lotto ticket, waiting for that big day that hasn't come. You see the psychological warfare in that? It's a failure in reasoning, which renders an argument invalid. That's fallacy. I'm gonna repeat that because we can use words, but if we don't understand the words, it don't mean nothing. Fallacy. So this is sunk cost. Fallacy is a failure in reasoning which renders an argument invalid. Faulty reasoning, misleading, or unsound argument. It just, when you really start looking at it, you start asking yourself questions, it don't make sense. For example, why stay in a relationship for 10 years that you're miserable in? You're miserable, the other person's miserable, it's toxic. It's not serving either one of you any purpose. And when you start listening, when you you started to have faulty reasoning. What's the faulty reason? But I love them. I know they're going to do better one day. You know, we're still waiting for them to change. They're going to change. You know, I've been with them this long. It don't even make sense to go anywhere else. Or ain't nobody else going to want you. See, that's faulty reasoning. It's not even necessarily logical in the thinking pattern, but we've convinced ourselves. So we've fallen into a fallacy. We're not thinking. It's not reasonable. You know, we're not even making sense anymore. Again, we're a lot worse off. Whatever the heart embraces is truth, the mind will support. Whatever the heart embraces is truth, the mind will support. So I don't care what it is, it don't even have to be, it ain't the truth. But if your heart embraces it, your mind will begin to support it. It's faulty reasoning. Faulty reasoning. And so we want to get to a point in our lives where we want to get away from this sunk cost. Now, when I look at things, I could be going on life and I could be prior to sunk cost. I could constantly be on diets. I could constantly be trying to do this. I could constantly be trying to discipline this. I could constantly be trying to do this and that. But now I understand there's a root cause. The root cause of it is sunk cost. So now because of the root cause of it, and I'm understanding the root cause, doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. It doesn't mean I still won't make mistakes. But that what it does mean is that now that I understand the root cause, I can function differently. Now I don't have to hold on to these clothes that's no longer serving me any purpose. I don't have to hold on to old shoes. I may not never get to a size 6. So why I'm not going to hold somebody else to be blessed with these size 6s. But it ain't blessing me right now, but it could bless somebody else. See, my thinking's going to begin to change. This is what it's called in the Word of God when it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to renew our mind, because in renewing our mind, we begin to get understanding. As we begin to get understanding, now we can begin to make decisions. So we're being transformed. I'm being transformed now. Guess what? So if I want to eat a piece of pie, I'm going to eat a piece of pie. But I'm not going to hold on to the fact like, oh boy, I ate a piece of pie, now I'm fat, now I'm old. No. If I eat the piece of pie, and then I'm let it go. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not going to, I'm not going to not be able to let it go. So now what I'm going to ask myself before I eat that piece of pie is, do I want to do that to me? I love me. I don't want to hurt me. Do I want to do that to me? If I eat this piece of pie and it's going to cause my stomach, one big thing, you know, many of us might be lactose intolerant. Ice cream. I love ice cream. Ice cream don't love me. And I don't eat it often, but there's moments where I eat it and I already know what it's going to do to me. But while I'm eating it, I'm enjoying it. I made it, you know, the investment. But the end result is not good. I'm worst off. So now, since I know that, and I know that it's a sunk cost, so I ask myself, do I want to do that to me? If I eat this, I know what it's going to do. Do I want to do that? So now I'm asking myself, now if I make a decision I want to do it, then I do it, deal with the consequences, and leave it alone. But don't keep beating myself up because I made the decision to eat the ice cream, knowing the consequences. Don't beat myself up. Because the point I think in all of this is this: you have the ability to make a choice. You have the ability to make a choice. If you're somewhere and you're murmuring and you're complaining and you're unhappy, you have the ability to make a choice. If you're there, it's because you chose to be there. And you have the ability to make a choice. And as I said that, I could hear somebody saying, well, no, I didn't choose to be here, but I'm in a bad situation. You have the ability to make a choice. If whatever you're dealing with, you have the ability to make a choice. And one of the choices sometimes that we simply have to do is just forgive ourselves. Made a bad choice, made a bad investment. Hey, count my cost. Okay, it's done. And we have to say, you know what? I have to say, Coach D, you know what? That was not a good choice. You made a bad investment. Forgive yourself and move on. Forgive yourself, forgive the person, and move on. forgive yourself, forgive the person, and move on. And many of us haven't forgiven ourselves. And sometimes we've forgiven others and we still haven't forgave ourselves. And we need to start forgiving ourselves. We need to start loving ourselves. We need to be able to love ourselves. Why? Because greater is he inside of us than he that's in the world. That means that God lives inside of us. We need to start learning how to love ourselves. We need to be able to make better choices. And that when we blow it, we need to be able to ask for forgiveness. Forgive ourselves. Yes, I made a bad choice. I got into the wrong relationship. Forgive myself. Yes, I've invested money in things that didn't pay off. Yes, forgive myself. Yes, I've done this. Yes, forgive myself. I've done that. Yes, forgive myself. You too need to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself because the sickness and the disorder that comes with unforgiveness, it's not good. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. So we need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive what, you know, and be done with it. You know, I'm going to say this, and you know, and hear me. Don't focus on the personality. Hear what I'm saying. You know, many people I know did not like 45. You know, they didn't like his personality. They didn't like a lot that came with him. And they often wanted to use the fact that, oh, he filed bankruptcy, he don't da-da-da-da. But he's a millionaire. He was a millionaire before he was 45. And, yes, he filed bankruptcy, but guess what? Evidently, he forgave himself. And he kept trying again, and he kept trying again, and he get it right. On some he got it right, on some he didn't. But he kept going again. Why it seems like to me, and I don't know the details of it, is that he was able to move on. It was a bad investment, okay, and move on. Bad investment, okay, and move on. Investment is not always money. It's time spent. How many of us have spent time with somebody, and, again, it didn't turn out like we thought it was going to turn out, and move on? Even in the Word of God, when he sent out the disciples, he told them, when you go to somebody's house, and if they don't receive you, knock the dust off your feet, and what? Move on. So we got to learn how to move on. We got to learn how, okay, this wasn't a good investment, move on. And stop looking to be a victim and stop looking for people to blame. Because oftentimes we make a decision to stay because we don't want to lose the investment, and then we want to become a victim. You see how he treat me. You see what he did to me. Woe is me. No. You seen what he did, and you chose to stay. You chose to stay because why? You didn't want to lose your investment. So we have to learn when it's time. You know, when it's time that, okay, this ain't paying off. This is serving me no more purpose. This is harmful to me. It's making me worse off, and be able to move on. As I was saying that, it reminded me of an old secular song that I used to love, and some of you may not know, Kenny Rogers used to have a song, and he said, you got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em. You know that song? Know when to walk away, know when to run. That came to mind, because we have to just know, you know, and part of that knowing comes in our vertical relationship. Part of that knowing is seeking God for wisdom, seeking God for direction. A lot of times, again, we got ourselves in some of these situations because we didn't even pray first, even what we eat. How many of you have prayed before you know, you said, oh, I'm hungry, I want something to eat. How many of you just take the time to say, you know what, Lord, what should I eat? What would be a healthy option for me? We don't do that. So a lot of decisions and choices we made is because we just didn't even seek God's wisdom. We just stepped out. And then we find ourselves in these situations. Amen. Well, I want to do this really quickly as we come towards the end of this. I got a couple of scriptures that if you want to jot them down, just that came to mind for me. One of the big ones that stuck out for me is One of the big ones that stuck out for me was Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. And why that stuck out to me is because, again, a lot of it is our mindset, our choice, our ability to forgive. And I don't know why this one stuck out, but I'm going to read it. It says, but whoever has doubt is condemned. If he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And I think why that scripture popped up in my spirit was this, because again, it supports what I just said. A lot of times, the decisions and choices we make and things we choose to invest in, we did not seek God's wisdom. They weren't done in faith. And when we do things that, according to Romans chapter 14, when we do things that's not from faith, it's sin. When we do things that does not proceed from faith, it's sin. That's something to stick right there. So when we're making these decisions, are we making these decisions through faith? Are we seeking God? God, have we asked him, is it okay? Did you ask God, was it okay for you to date that young lady? Did you ask God, was it okay for you to marry that man? Did you seek God's wisdom? Investment. You're making an investment. You started a new business. Did you seek God's wisdom before you poured in $10,000 to $20,000 into this new business? Who told you to do it? Are you seeking God? Psalms 143:10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Are you asking God to teach you to do his will, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done? Are we asking for his to be led by his spirit so that we could stay leveled, vertically aligned? Those two scriptures are the ones that stood out for me, and I think they really speak to all that was said on tonight. They really do speak to it. Again, that was Romans 14 and 23, Psalms 143 and 10. And last, like I said, we have to forgive ourselves. So if you've been holding on to some stuff, you've invested your resources, your emotions, your time, your money, and you're still holding on to it, but it's not serving you any purpose, now is the time. God forgives you. According to Psalms 103:12, he tells us that as far as the east is from the west, has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So he's forgiven us. Now we have to forgive ourselves. And repentance, it becomes a lifestyle. You know when you need to repent. And when you repent, then you need to make sure that in that repentance you're forgiving yourself as well and that you're not holding on to your past in your now, that you're not holding on to your past decisions, your past choices, your past mistakes, your past disappointments, your past failures. You can't hold on to those past ideas in your now. That we serve a now God. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We serve a now God. God is a now God. God is not the God. He's not a God in the past. He's now. He's with you now. Now. And we define now as 0 to 5 seconds. He's now. He's a now God. Not what you did yesterday, not what you did six seconds ago, but now. You only have the ability to repent when? Now. You only have the ability to change your mind when? Now. You only have the ability to make a right choice when? Now. Not what I just did, but now. And we serve a now God. Father God, we just want to thank you for your word on this evening. We thank you, Father God, that you are trying to infiltrate our minds, Father God. Just fill us with you, Lord Jesus, so that we could be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Father, we thank you that your word tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Father God, I thank you that you give us the liberty through Christ, Father God, to break down your word, Father God, not adding to it or taking away, but break down your word, Father God, that it becomes practical principles unto perception. Father God, that we could see it, that we could do it, that we could achieve it, Father. Father God, that we could take the knowledge that we learn and apply it to our daily life so that we could walk in wisdom, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that in a time where there's deception, where there in a time that the gospel is trying to be changed by deceiving and wolves and sheep clothing and so much going on, Father God. We see the wheat with the tare and all kind of things. It could get confusing. But, Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that reveals all truth, Father God. Lord, we thank you for your ever-presence, Father God. Oh, Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that you will not leave us nor forsake us, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for being an ever-presence, Father God. And, Lord, we just thank you for your guidance and your direction, Father. We thank you, Father God, that you've given us revelation knowledge of your word, Father, so that we will not just be hearers, but we will be doers also. So, Father God, we just say thank you, Lord. We thank you for loving us, Father. We thank you for forgiving us, Father. And, Father God, we thank you for giving us the ability not just to forgive others, but to forgive ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to tonight's episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that it blessed you. But more importantly, I pray that you will sit still in the presence of God and start looking at the sunk cost in your life. What are those things that you're holding on to? What are those things that you felt like you've made many investments that serves you no purpose anymore? They have left you worse off. What is that thing? Do you love you? Do you love you enough to not hurt you? Amen. And so I want to thank my mentor for just sitting with me and pouring into me so that I could begin to, through the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit bears witness, and that I could begin to process. See, this is what the, you know, processing the pain, it sounds like a true cliche, but I'm going to tell you, as long as you breathe and do this, and exhale, as long as you're doing that, you're going to face pain. You're going to face some type of pain. And it's okay, because we have to have the ability to process through that pain. And tonight was just another lesson in processing through the pain. Let the pain, this pain go. And yes, you're going to have more pain, and you're going to have more pain, but it's a process. And what you're going to do is keep processing it. Keep processing the pain. Keep processing the pain. Keep. So we're going from glory to glory. Amen. Thank you again for joining me on tonight. I hope you'll join us next week. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. And many are going to be celebrating with their families and stuff. I'm sure that we're going to have something going on. It may not be for the entire hour, but I'm going to try to make sure that I have something special for those of you who may not be with your family. Maybe some of you are under quarantine and you're staying away from large crowds and you're not going to be doing anything. Well, I'm going to make sure I have something on that Thursday, so I'll just keep an eye out for my email blast that I will send out to let you know what we will be doing on Thursday, next Thursday, which is Thanksgiving. Again, I love and appreciate each and every one of you for your continual support, and thank you for tuning in. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a good night.
surrender.